Dr. Quincast is now on Patreon. If you would like to get early access to the podcast, higher quality files, stickers, and more sent right to your home, please visit patreon.com/drquincast. All support is appreciated and goes right back into producing the podcast.
They said the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast could not survive alone on the new frontier. But we won't give up. And we are not alone anymore. We have committed to covering every episode, and that might be the biggest challenge of all. Welcome to Dr. Quincast, the Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman podcast.
Hello, this is Mark, and you are listening to Dr. Quincast. I'm on with my co-host, Kelly. How are you, Kelly?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. And it is time for Campaign Palooza. And even have thunder in the background.
Well, I mean, Campaign Palooza is technically over. It's Thanksgiving now.
I know. I forgot. I messed that
up. But we are still riding the high of Campaign Palooza.
I have to edit this out. Holy cow. I just... Well, it's still good music.
It is really good music. All right. I love the music. It sounds like it belongs in a Ken Burns documentary.
Yeah, I could see that with, like, the pictures, like, moving really slowly. Ken Burns style.
The Ken Burns effect.
Yeah, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's actually what it's called, the Ken Burns effect.
But today we're talking about the Temptest. Temptest.
Tempest.
Yes, the Tempest.
And it's season the 5th.
Mm-hmm.
Episode 10. November 23rd, 1996. It's our Thanksgiving episode. This so we're in the holiday season. That's Santa Claus. No, I'm just kidding.
I have a lot of issue with this as being a Thanksgiving episode, to be honest with you, because it feels nothing like Thanksgiving. It doesn't... There's almost nothing Thanksgiving about this, except they say it's Thanksgiving.
So I ask Mark, what Thanksgiving episode do you want to do? Yeah. You agree to this one, and now you're complaining that it's not Thanksgiving enough.
I love this episode.
Yeah, it's a really good episode.
I do have a critique. Yeah. You know, that's my critique. It could be more Thanksgiving-y.
Well, that's kind of what you said about our Halloween episode, too. You thought it wasn't Halloween-y enough.
Hey, I'm sorry. It's not a perfect show.
I quit.
You sure did.
We'll be taking... Anyway, so whether or not you think this is Thanksgiving enough or not, see, I think it's totally Thanksgiving-y. I don't know. I just think it's Thanksgiving. And you maybe I associate it with Thanksgiving because, like, they were showing it on TV on Thanksgiving, like, a couple years ago. So I was, like, making the turkey, and I'm like, oh, look.
Your job is going to be to basically, at the end, ask me again, what do you think? Is it Thanksgiving?
Is it a Thanksgiving episode?
And I'll say, yes. Yes, it is.
Sure did.
One more time. Is. One more time for the people in the back.
She sure did.
If you have a favorite clip, or if you hear Matt saying "sure did," send us the time. I think that'd be awesome. We'll play it.
We'll get a compilation going. We need to get a clip of the Cheyenne Say.
Yeah, we definitely need Cheyenne Say. That needs to be like kind of an evergreen. Because we do have...
like, and sure did.
Yeah, that's a really good one. But, we have to get the Cheyenne Say. That's next. It's coming. It's like a Thanksgiving miracle. But Thanksgiving is my favorite season. I mean, my favorite holiday.
It's a whole season now.
It is. It's well, I think
it's really like a lifestyle.
It's really a lifestyle. I think of Thanksgiving as the beginning of a holiday season. I really do.
Yeah, I do as well. Usually, even though, like, I mean, because I love Christmas and, like, the whole Christmas season.
Even I do. I think that Christmas is a really, really fun holiday.
Well, right. So then, like, apart from, like, the, you know, religious, because, you know, obviously I'm Christian and you're Jewish, so you don't celebrate the religious part of, you know, Christmas. But aside from the religious part of the holiday, I think the whole season is just really fun, you know? And I like the decorations. And, like, the, like, cheesy movies, you know, like, the Christmas movies.
Yeah, do you watch them?
Well, I like good Christmas movies, and I like cheesy Christmas movies, you know. It's just sort of, like, part of that time of the year, you know, watching the movies, the holiday movies and stuff.
Yeah, Betsy watches all of those Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah. So, like, I've watched too many of those. Like, I've seen way too many of them. One year I actually, like, ran out of them.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I've watched all of them. And I'm like, we have nowhere left to go.
Sometimes they have, like, the Hanukkah weird one where it's like, they're going to Christmas, but they bring the Jewish guy.
Yeah, well, they've been, like, the last couple of years, I haven't yet seen any really a lot of previews for, like, this upcoming, like, this season or whatever. Well, but this will be outdated by the time this is released. I'm sure I'll have seen all the previews. But at this point in time, I don't know what's on the docket as far as, like, the Hanukkah ones this year and just in general the holiday ones. The last couple of years, they've had, like, I would say, like, way more because it's not, like, a lot, but they've, like, very clearly been trying to, like, diversify.
Yeah, with, like, maybe Kwanzaa
the whole holiday
and stuff.
Movie thing. And they've had, like, in the last couple of years, they've had, like, at least a couple, you know, that are, like, dealing with Hanukkah, and they'll just be, like, some other weird situations, you know? But I think last year they had one that was with, like a you know, like, a homosexual couple, which is kind of new for the Hallmark Channel, and then, like, you know, some other stuff. So I'm like, they're, like, clearly trying to, like, expand, I guess.
You know, I would say that I could see Beth Sullivan writing these type of things because she really is kind of a forward-thinking person, and I'm surprised that she didn't kind of enter that kind of market, you know?
Kind of like pushing the envelope of, like, what they used to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I guess we'll see. We'll see what's going on this year. Sure did.
Sure did.
Sure did.
So, the Tempest. So, The Tempest is, it opens up and we're looking at the house, and Dr. Mike is talking about making chutney. Chutney is a delicious thing. I don't know if I've ever made chutney. You buy chutney at, like, Trader Joe's.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever heard of anybody making chutney.
I'm sure you could. I mean,
but obviously you can make it.
I think it's like pie filling or something. It's not, it's like mushed up pie filling.
It's a savory condiment made from slow-cooked fruits or vegetables, vinegar, and spices.
Oh, vinegar, huh? That's interesting.
It originated in India.
Huh. Sounds delicious. But here we go.
Well, obviously.
Well, obviously. Duh.
Dr. Mike's making it.
Apple chutney. What's chutney?
And he has to ask, what's chutney? What, are you writing a book, kid? Stop asking so many questions.
By the way, notice right here, Katie is sitting upright and she's awake. And then I'm pretty sure in like a minute she's like sound asleep and Sully.
Oh, really? All right, I'm gonna watch.
Spicy relish.
You ever cook it before?
Well, it shouldn't be too difficult. I just need to follow the recipe.
No, Sully's like, sounds dangerous.
Look at that. She's sleeping now.
I didn't
she's totally awake and now she's like passed out.
Hold on, let me get to it.
This dinner has to be special. It's Katie's first Thanksgiving.
She's still up.
She's still up. What? I can't be that much ahead of you, can I? Okay, sorry. Maybe my thing was playing too fast.
Colleen will be home from school today.
Oh, that's right. Colleen will be home to help cook.
Oh, Colleen.
I hate when he says Colleen's name. He says Colleen.
She'll be here to help cook because you suck at it.
Thank God she's coming.
I don't want your chutney.
It's like enough with your Boston chicken or Boston market.
So he would like eat the chutney and be like, I don't know if this is good or not, because I've never had chutney, but you made it, so I assume it's bad.
Wolf won't even eat it. But what do you think? Do you think that Michaela would eat at Boston Market? She would love it, right?
Maybe.
Boston, oh, it's Boston.
Because it has Boston in the name.
Yeah. They would have that at her
Would she
wedding.
Like how commercialized it is?
Well, the last time I went to Boston Market was like probably 20 years ago, so I don't know how commercialized it is.
I don't even remember the last time. I used to like hear about it a lot, and I don't even remember the last time I really heard about it, honestly.
I had a roommate who literally ate there like 3 times a week, and I'm like, it's not like good food or anything. It just looks like it's good food.
Yeah, well, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, do you think that she would like it? Because it's just kind of like this like commercialized.
Well, she likes everything from Boston.
It's really good, but it is from Boston.
Yeah. What's up with your dogs? They're all right?
I don't know. I just noticed that. They're, like, both really... They actually are...
Wound up.
Asking to go to Boston Market.
Yeah, they're like, oh, give me the bone!
Leah needs her time at home to study.
Your ma's gonna fix us a real fine meal, Brian.
Oh yeah, you're right. The kid's like out.
Yeah, yeah. Like she just suddenly like totally passes out.
Yeah, it's almost like they put Yo Gabba Gabba on or something. And it's like out. And you savor those moments where it's nice and quiet.
Oh, sure. It's gonna be great, Ma.
It'd be funny if he like did finger quotes on that one. It's gonna be great.
Great.
You might want to get a couple frozen meals from Grace.
Certainly intend to try.
I want to go get some Lean Cuisines.
A couple Lean Cuisines, you know, it's not bad with a little hot sauce.
It's not often that we're all home together anymore.
It's weird. The shot that they have makes it look like they're on a boat here. The way the camera's moving, it's like the background is moving.
Yeah, that is kind of strange.
It's a little seasickish.
Makes me almost as sick as her dress.
Yeah, you don't like her dresses in this episode too much.
I don't like her. I don't like the dress that she's wearing. I don't like the color. It looks a little too matronly. I don't like the collar. I just don't like it.
Well, she is very. Well, she. I think that it's not as bad as the dress that we've looked at in the past. The one that was kind of like a potato sack. Although this one, for whatever reason, she also appears to be very short in this episode. And she isn't very tall. But she looks really short.
She's, what, like 5'4 or something?
No, I think she's, not that it's that big of a difference or anything like that, but I thought she was like 5 foot.
No, I'm pretty sure she's like 5'4.
Oh, it's not that short.
I'm looking it up right now because I think she is.
But 5'4 is kind of normal. It's like an average height for a woman. I think Betsy's 5'4.
Let's see. I'm looking up how tall she is. Yep, 5'4".
Oh.
5'4". She's 5'4".
Maybe she just works with people who are really tall.
She's 5'4", and she has a crooked smile.
A crooked smile. Two different color eyes.
That's what it says. Well, so she's 5'4", and I'm like 5'5 and a half. So I'm like an inch and a half taller than she is.
You could totally kick her butt.
We're like practically the same size, though. Like, what's an inch, right?
Yeah, totally.
So, you call her short, you call me short.
Okay, you're short. I'm kidding. I'm only like 5'10 or 11 on a good day.
Yeah. I think Pete was at the doctor kind of recently and they measured him and I think it was 5'11, like 5. It was like barely under 5'11 or something like that. Some weird like decimal to it.
I'd love it if Pete was only willing to tell height in like the metric system.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like I'm 2 meters or some. I don't know. How do you do that?
I could see Michaela doing that.
Yeah, she would definitely try to push the metric system 150 years ago. Stupid.
And so I'd be like, it's just a number.
Just a number, man. Just a number, dude. It's like, what's that? Let me just turn down my Sex and Candy song.
No, that's Hank's song.
Oh, that's right. Well, Hank lent him a tape.
He's like, I think Hank's on to something here.
Yeah, Hank made me this tape. It says Hank's Awesome Mix.
Yeah.
This is F.U. Sully. All right. Yeah. So we must have spoken for like 30 minutes before this, just like talking about what's on their mixtapes. And it's coming. Yeah. This is a segment that we're working on for you.
Yeah,
the listener.
Like the Dr. Quinn cast. Mixtapes.
Yeah. We're gonna break the rules. Alright, so Preston is going and he's talking to the child that he's employing to clean the windows.
Good work. It's a nice start. Streak. Smudge. No sparkle. The bank has to look perfect today. Now you do a good job here, and there are a lot more windows you can wash at my new hotel.
He smiled at him for a little too long there, but I thought it was okay. I mean, the kid is making some honest money, right? He doesn't, and he's rewarding him in a nice way.
Yeah, so I actually think that Preston treats employees well.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
He has like this bad rep in like the Dr. Quinn fan community, and people really don't like him, which we talked about this before and we'll get more into it tonight. You know, Horace doesn't understand how loans work, obviously. But he is like a banker and he's my businessman, and he is really just like doing what bankers are supposed to do. So I don't really think we can hate on him for that. It's like if someone's the recipient of some unfortunate, you know, financial circumstance that they put themselves in, I mean, they're adults, you know, they really should maybe, you know, take responsibility. Yeah, there are some moments where he is pretty much just a douchebag, like noticeably in Dead or Alive when he's just sort of challenging everybody. But I actually think that this episode provides a really satisfying answer to why he is like that sometimes, because as we meet his father, which we'll get into,
yeah,
we obviously see why that's going on. But as far as like, he is a good businessman. He's savvy, obviously, about things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes he does seem like the only reason he's interested in anybody is like, how can this advance what I'm trying to do?
Yeah,
which
I agree,
you could perceive as cold or callous. However, I do think that he treats employees very well. I mean, like with this kid, like, you know, he's nice enough that he's like, you know, he's giving him some criticism, but he's like, I have plenty of work for you. Like, just do this well, and then like you can keep doing this for me. We have later on with Andrew when he welcomes him with like the fancy.
Yeah, I thought that was really nice.
I think the way that he welcomes him and his manner, I'm like, he's like a very like good employer.
Yeah.
And the way, like with Myra, when she gets the job at the bank, I mean, like he goes out of his way to like seek her out and get her to be in the position,
mm-hmm.
even willing to make accommodations. And then even like when Horace is like having issues with it, and then like when he ends up bringing her like those crappy flowers, they're like weeds.
Yeah.
But when he like brings those to her, and then, you know, Preston's all like, oh, looks like we're off to a really good start. And, you know, like, I just am like, I think that stuff is nice. Like, I think he's like a really good employer.
And, you know, when Myra did work for him, I don't know, we were starting to really see the old Myra kind of come back to life. And
Yeah,
I like Preston a lot. I did not want to like him.
Yeah.
But
I think, like, he knows what he's doing, and, like, he knows how to manage people. He knows, you know, what it takes to keep people like happy, like in their employment, and you know.
He's dressed well. We never see his house though, do we?
No, we never see it like finished because Sully's like, you know, working on it, and then he abandons it to go commit federal crimes and stuff, and we never really.
Bye. Gotta go.
Yeah, we never really see what it ends up looking like, unfortunately.
It's weird because, you know, he probably has a suite in the hotel where he lives, and
yeah,
it's probably really nice. Like, he has a heart-shaped bathtub.
Yeah, well, and I mean, like, really, I could even see someone like Preston just like, I mean, living there.
Yeah,
indefinitely, really. I mean, like, what would be the problem with it?
Yeah.
But he has this land, and he has the, he's committed. He cut down the kissing tree, so he has to go with it. I mean, like, I bet, like, he actually bought the land, because he bought that, like, right away, right? And it's, like, before he put the chateau up. So he bought the land, he's putting a house on there, and then he gets this, like, chateau thing going, and then he's, like, living in the chateau while he's waiting for his house to be built, and he's like, I prefer this, but oh, crap, I'm super committed to this other thing, because I cut down the kissing tree, and if I back out now...
They're really gonna hate me. Yeah, it's like tearing down like a historic landmark and putting up a 7-Eleven or something.
Yeah.
Whoops. But we learn that Andrew is going to go to work for the enemy with Preston, which is, you know, I think is also kind of a good step for Andrew to kind of
go
out on his own a little bit.
I mean, I have some kind of real criticisms of the way that Michaela handles the whole situation.
You know,
I mean, she didn't.
She feels
a little bit betrayed,
I think.
What was that?
She feels a little bit betrayed, I think, but she kind of gets over it.
Yeah, she does get over it, and by the end, they seem to be, like, okay with the whole thing and with each other, but, I mean, so first, she doesn't want Andrew around, mm-hmm. like, when her mother brings him. And then she wants him around when she's out for the baby. Then she comes back after having the baby, and then she's mad that Andrew had, like, patience.
Yeah.
And then she just, like, has a hard time dealing with the whole thing. I think she just kind of likes to be, like, kind of in control of the whole situation.
Well, her name is on... Well, you know, it's funny because it's her name on the top of the store, the health store. And
the clinic.
The health clinic. And it's also her name is on top of the entire show. And from what we understand, Jane Seymour gets whatever she wants. So she wants Andrew to work for her forever, I guess, indefinitely. But, you know, there's a lot as the town is growing. Of course, the medical needs will grow.
Yeah, I'm not really sure I understand being that upset about him, like, working in a separate clinic, though.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because first of all, they're, like, servicing a totally different clientele, like, at the Chateau. I mean, Preston doesn't really even want, like, actual sick people there.
No, it's, like, for tonics and stuff like that.
So it's, like, a totally different clientele. And even, like, her whole thing, she's not really even, like, charging people at this point. So there's not really, like, that monetary aspect. And her whole thing, anyway, is that she's, like, I took an oath. It's, like, you know, she's, like, a doctor. She's doing it to help people. She's not in it for, like, you know, financial gain. So, like, why would she really care about even how many other doctors there are and whether they're working in her clinic or not?
Yeah, I think this is connected to her being a woman, coming from, like, the male-dominated medical field. And her being the big deal in Colorado Springs, and now it's like this guy's gonna run off and have a fancy clinic in a hotel
with Preston, who didn't get my father alone.
Which we get to discuss a little bit, which is just cringy.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome. But Preston is kind of really adamant about Andrew telling Michaela, which kind of leads to this really funny scene where he's like, fine, I'm going to do it right now. And you have Preston pacing in the background.
I know. It's great. The screenshot you sent is like amazing.
It's so funny. Because if you watch it, though, he walks back and forth like 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
Has he done it yet? He's like, he wants to see her face, you know. Oh, I need to see the pain.
He's just like my dogs. Now? No.
Now? What?
No.
Did you say treat?
No.
And they do like the foot bump thing, the foot like stomp. That's what my dogs do.
They stomp their feet?
Like if they're waiting for something and they're like getting impatient, their front paws will like kind of stomp.
Oh, really? So Harriet just like kind of like prances in a circle.
Well, yeah, Toodles does that.
She's like, come on.
Come on, let's do it. So yeah, he finally breaks the news and Michaela's just like, you have to give 2 weeks, you know. Like, I don't understand what this is all about.
Andrew, am I to understand this is your 2 years notice?
2 years. Is it something Sully said? Because he can go. He's out of here. Just give it another couple seasons and he won't even be around. So here we're in the train and we're waiting for Colleen also to come home for Thanksgiving break, and here we go. Well, no, they're not there to pick up Colleen, right?
They're not there. They're there because
that's later.
Why are they there? They get the telegram from Horace that the train, or that she's not on the train.
Yeah, she'll come in a couple days.
They were there to pick her up, but she's not on the train because she stayed behind to do extra coursework.
Yeah, I can play that thing real quick.
Train late?
Horace doesn't even say anything, just hands him the paper.
What's a train?
What's a train, Ma?
Coming today.
What?
Teacher gave him extra work to finish before Thanksgiving. She'll try to be home by Thursday.
Try to?
This is the repeating again. Try to. Yeah, that's what I said. She loves repeating. So here.
Wait for yourself, Michaela.
Fancy Presti 2 is arriving on the train. Whoa, that's loud. You know, and from this point on, Andrew, and you pointed this out, I didn't really catch it the first time I was watching it closely. He becomes like this kind of really kind of weaker character in this episode
in particular. There are times when I just don't really understand what he's doing and why.
He's like the sidekick all of a sudden.
Well, it's weird because he is all like, I'm leaving to go to Preston's clinic. He goes there. Granted, Preston gives him this like wonderful welcome and it's very nice. But then the rest of the episode, we see him just trailing behind Preston and his father.
Whee!
It's just really, it's so weird.
Yeah,
and I'm just it. Like, he's acting like a little puppy. It's just bizarre.
Yeah, so here he is coming off.
Father!
Well then, you haven't changed much, not have
you? It's been 14 months, sir. I may still surprise you.
I grew an inch.
I trust mother as well.
I have a gray hair in my beard. He has some crazy chops, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else has chops? I think maybe Horace does.
Well, I mean, Preston has little chops.
They're not that little. Those are pretty big chops.
No, I mean, but like compared to his father's. But I mean, like, go to like the bottom of his ear. I mean, that's like a sort of sizable chop.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like the way that Preston's dad's chops look. He has a cool look about him. He looks a little bit like Abraham Lincoln.
With the hat and everything. Yeah, and he has that awesome cane.
And he kind of has like this kind of, you know, profile that is kind of similar.
So because I've said this before, that I think that Preston has like just a very 19th century look.
Oh, yeah. Especially like in this episode.
Totally is pulling that off. And I think his father, the person playing his father, is like the same deal. Like, I could just totally see him just existing.
Yeah, because
like actually existing in this time period.
But like modern 19th century, like they're like kind of in style, I would say.
Yeah.
She and your brother send their regards.
And your journey was pleasant?
Ooh, a Preston brother. I haven't really thought about that.
Well, he says in Dead or Alive that he had numerous brothers.
Can you imagine like that dynamic?
Remember they used to like always like they would like settle things by boxing.
Oh, that's right. That was that whole story. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Jake's like sounds like a happy home.
Swig, swig.
He's pretty awesome that episode.
Yeah, we have to do that one.
Yeah.
Sportspalooza.
Sportspalooza. Well, we could do that and then we can have the traveling all stars.
Yeah. We have a lot of paloozas coming up.
Yeah.
What an exciting time.
We are into the palooza.
Yeah.
Tumultuous.
Tumultuous.
Tumultuous. That would be a good clip. Tumultuous.
Tumultuous.
There are terrible storms across the plains.
Well, you're here now, Father, safely. And I'm honored that you made such a long trip.
I made good use of the time and secured some new business along the way.
Well, let's see this charming little empire of yours.
Now, this coming up is one of my favorite scenes in the entire episode. And it's just so cringy and awful.
First,
let
me introduce to you the finest physician in all of Colorado Springs.
Dr. Andrew Cook.
Oh.
Finest physician.
She didn't, did he? Did he really do that?
She sure did.
And then, like, you see her face, and you see how, like, Andrew is so uncomfortable. Like, he's like... Is Michaela gonna? Is she gonna kill me?
She's gonna sick wolf on me. You see wolf in the background, like snarling.
Yeah, yeah.
The wolf doesn't.
But I mean,
like
it's
this.
Like a little. Also, like, why did Michaela? Because she's never even been friendly with Preston.
Yeah.
And like, why would she assume that he's just gonna be like, "Oh, you're the best doctor in the world"? I mean, like, it's like a little presumptuous of her to just be like, of course I'm the best. Did you hear I was nominated for Woman of the Year last season? Oh, anyway, it's like a little presumptuous that she would just assume that, like, of course it's me.
It's very nice.
This other doctor standing right here.
It's very nice to meet you, miss. It's doctor, actually.
And no, I'm not a prize.
I also thought it was rude for Preston to not introduce Michaela first. She is standing
because was like standing in front.
Yeah, like who's this lovely lady? A little bit rude.
Then you must be the one running my son's clinic.
Yes, sir. That's right. I have.
Sounds clinic.
A clinic? What's a clinic?
Just like wait for her to repeat it. Sounds clinic.
She's like, oh, somebody's gonna die tonight. Wolf gets scared, runs into the forest. Yeah, it's like, don't give me the leftovers. It's gonna be gross. So yeah, I mean, it's pretty unexpected, I guess, for Andrew, for whatever reason, but she's, you know, she has to deal with it. It's not that big of a deal. Let's see, we're kind of walking through and kind of giving the tour to Fancy Dad.
Everyone comes to your father. With
what?
I love Fancy Dad.
Fancy Dad.
A dream. A passion for independence and success. To stake a claim on the frontier.
Dirt.
Pardon?
Dirt streets. No sense of permanence or stability.
Well, we're still a young town, sir. The streets will be paved. We're going one step at a time.
The people here, sir, they're used to a slower pace. It's not like Boston.
Not yet, but soon.
I think that's the only time that Andrew even speaks to him directly. And it's just
storm.
Weird.
There's a lodge leading the way.
Speaking of progress, sir, all of it begins right here.
Yes, yes. Good thinking, son. You were wise to start small.
Small?
A larger bank might have intimidated these frontier people.
Sully, Michaela.
So this is, again, one of my favorite scenes.
Yeah, I think it's just hilarious. I love it.
But, you know, he did give the, like, triple blink when his dad is like, you started small, and, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things.
Sure did.
Sure did. Gotta go for it.
You sure did.
But.
But. Oh, man, I just did something and messed it up. Sure did.
Sully, Michaela. I'm sorry I didn't introduce you earlier. This is my father, Preston A. Lodge II.
Mr. Lodge, welcome.
Dr. Michaela Quinn.
Dr. Quinn.
I believe you knew my father, Dr. Joseph Quinn. You declined his loan?
Ah, yes. A bad risk.
Fortunately, another banker felt otherwise. My father secured his loan, and his practice became one of the largest and most profitable in Boston.
And you are?
Okay, so, like, I have a real problem with her in this loan thing. It's like we've talked about before.
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, why won't she let this go? It's weird. She's, like, pathological about it.
Like, oh, well, great. He could have paid back the loan that I was going to give him.
It's crazy.
You know, yeah, it is. It's definitely crazy. And when did it happen? I'm kind of curious of that. I mean, was this something that was discussed at all, you know, all the time in the household?
Yeah, like every night at dinner, they're like, oh, I hate that person I lodged the second.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, are there any dishes called Preston or something? It's like, what's for dinner? We're having press. No, don't bring up the word press. That son of a... I don't know. Like, he just, everything triggers him.
Beef. It has a pea in it! No!
I'm gonna go off to the lodge now. Lodge! Yeah, you'd just
this
be a tyrant.
This is the second time I've been... Second!
Second? How dare you in this house? You're... Get out! All right.
Sully.
That's succinct. And what is your profession, sir?
Well, I've been here more than a year, Father, and I still haven't figured that out.
I think it's funny, though. That succinct is, like, one of my favorite lines.
Man,
like, in the series, it's amazing.
Now, and what then, is... Like, I'm sorry, I'm cutting you off because I just have to tell you, I actually was writing it in to edit, and then I saw you edit it already.
Yeah, it's, like, amazing. And then, like, Sully, what do you do? Oh, I've been trying to figure that out. It's, like, really funny because it's, like, kind of true.
Yeah,
it's kind of... I don't think any of us really understand what Sully does.
And Sully's just like, yeah, whatever, dude. And he takes a vape.
Yeah.
A big, like...
takes a gummy.
No, he creates, like, a huge, like, vape cloud and then vanishes. It makes that weird sound like. He smells like coconut.
Sully is our wilderness renaissance man.
Ah, a wilderness man. Indeed.
Later. Later, man.
I'm gonna go to Subway now.
Say, like, oh, Sully is our, we call him a distributor of medical That's what he does.
I expect you could tell some remarkable stories.
And when he says this, Preston's like, what do you mean stories?
Yeah, he has like this weird reaction to that.
Yeah, there's a weird respect that, that P2 is giving this that Preston just doesn't. So,
yeah.
It's an odd one. But it's funny you point out that Wolf is kind of, you know, I started watching Wolf after you pointed out that he's kind of facing away when they ask, like, what does Sully do? But I noticed, like, Andrew's kind of playing with him. And
yeah. And Wolf's like, he's my dad.
Wolf's like, I don't care if you're leaving. Everything's cool with us. You got any snacks?
No, I didn't actually even notice, though, that, like, Andrew was playing with him until you posted that screenshot. Oh, really? And I'm like, oh, my gosh, Andrew's petting Wolf.
Yeah, it's kind of awesome. Like, you know, it's like any, like, normal person. If there's a friendly dog, you're playing with them, right?
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, it's really, I like Andrew. I didn't like Andrew
I think
first.
He's a good character. I like him, and, like, I like him and Colleen together.
Yeah, but you wouldn't think that there was any future for him and Colleen in this episode. If you went by the way that it's kind of going here.
Oh, right. Because, like, when it's all like, oh, Colleen's not on the train. And it's like, I don't give a shit about that. I'm going to tell you I'm quitting.
Exactly. It's like, who? Oh, the busty chick. isn't she 11? So, yeah, he goes after Michaela. And I thought this was actually kind of a good scene. And she said she understands, but as you pointed out, she doesn't understand. She's just
It's just like in Little House when Pa's like, I understand. And it's like, the way you're saying that makes me think that you don't understand.
It's like, do you think she understands?
She sure did.
Sure did is a tough one to kind of put into, like, conversation.
Yeah, I've had a few good ones.
Yeah, no, it's I think it's a winner. It's 100% sure of a winner did. Forever.
How about you shut up?
Whoops.
You got another sarsaparilla.
I still have to clip that one. Sarsaparilla. But we can always do this one.
I love that one.
I like that there's thunder in the background if you keep listening.
When, like, Wolf is, like, just running, like, when Wolf is running in front of the horses later, just play that music.
We should just have it the whole time. So in this episode,
it seriously makes me feel like we're in, like, a Ken Burns documentary.
Right. In 1925, they found that a lot of people were dying from bathtub gin. I haven't watched the Ken Burns documentary in a while. I kind of forget how they sound. But it does sound kind of like that. And then war came. Then war. All right. So, yeah. So she's just like, whatever. Whatever, I don't need you in my life. You can't quit. You're fired.
No benefits package.
People might know this already, but Kelly quits at least once a week on the podcast. In jest.
Once a week, more like once a day.
Yeah, probably. Pretty much. I say in jest, you say in seriousness. But it's like,
and here we are.
And here we are. I trick you every time. Like, let's just talk about it, all right? We'll go over it. Next thing you know, the episode's on.
Yeah.
We've done 23 times so far. Preston's giving more of a tour to his dad, seeing how hard he's worked. And I think he did work pretty hard, personally.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I feel kind of bad for him because it's like, you can tell, like, he just totally wants to impress his father. And he's, like, pretty proud of what he's done. And his, like, he's all like, I've worked so hard. And he kind of, like, looks at his father, and his father's just sitting there like,
Like, meh.
Yeah, like, there's, like, no comment. Like, he's just like, whatever.
Like, yeah, tell me more about Sully. He's the kind of guy who can be friends with the president.
Do you know what kind of conditioner he uses?
Where does he get his hair done? Oh, across the street at Jake's. He's the kind of man who could be friends with the president.
Is that wave natural?
Oh, no. I have to work very hard. He gets up at 4 in the morning and has to curl his hair. You wake up, he has, like, bones in his hair to curl them.
Yeah. I had, like, a Sully hair day. Not that my hair looked like Sully, but the wave thing.
Oh.
I had, like, one of those hair days where I was like, I'm just going to pop the curling iron in, like, you know, a few different spots and just sort of, like, add a little volume. And next thing you know, I'm at work looking like Sully.
Then feeling like Sully. And you're like, you're walking around and you're like,
aho.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She sure did.
It's a winning haircut.
Yeah.
So yeah, they get to the chateau, if you, the G-rated version of the chateau. Whereas you coined
the
it
chateau.
You should just call it what you named it, because I think it's brilliant. But
well, so I think that Preston's father would call it the chateau because he thinks that it's a piece of crap.
Yeah, I could see him doing a few things with the cane, like knocking things over on purpose. Like, this isn't in right. Because he has, like, a lot of weird statues, and they have, like, a hummingbird thing in the background. And it's kind of weird. It's a little bit weird.
Yeah.
It's a very pleasant building, Preston.
I name it the Chateau.
Very pleasant building for an outhouse.
For an outhouse. It's a fine building.
And the main attraction, Father, is here. My natural hot springs. You see how I've cleared away the brush and built this elegant decking?
Excellent, Preston. Well done. I suppose I pictured something a bit more substantial. But I can see that there's room to expand. You do intend to add more stories.
Several.
She sure did.
Sure did. In the background, we have like, I don't know, it's like a comedy team of Hank and Jake.
Yeah, I love them in this episode. They're like, I kind of like how they're working together to kind of plan their hotel, and I kind of like that they're like kind of plotting and they're like checking out the competition and just kind of threaded throughout the episode. We have like just some really funny lines coming from both of them, and I kind of am enjoying this, like, they're like, they kind of bring kind of a lightheartedness to the episode, I think.
Yeah, and that's and listen, just listening to anything that Hank says. Hank!
Yeah. Well, so Hank's great. Just sitting there listening to Sex and Candy.
Love this song. I wish I could have this on a tape, and it's just this song.
Hey, Jake, have you listened to this?
You got any more AA batteries?
Much. All work is what it is. Running that place is going to eat up all of Preston's profits.
Yeah, if he's got any. We're doing our place upright, keeping it simple.
Yep.
Yep.
Got the hot springs right over there.
She sure did.
And that's going to be a draw.
Rooms are probably big and fancy.
Mm-hmm. We still got one thing Preston's hotel don't.
Oh, right. Alice in Chains, Saturday night, right?
Exactly. In the shampoo room. Come. $10 at the door, $9 ahead of time. 2 beer minimum. Jeez. I could definitely see him being in Alice in Chains. I mean, that was where this joke kind of began. Is
yeah,
picturing
he, like,
them
looks
in
like
bands.
He would... I mean, I could see him fitting in a number of bands from that time period.
Yeah, like...
Honestly, like, he has the look, he has the hair, he has the voice.
Have you ever seen Airheads? Movie.
The candy?
No, movie. Airheads.
I was like, what?
It's the candy, the blue. Green apple's the best one. I don't know. No, have you ever seen Airheads with I don't know who he's in. Brendan Fraser, I think, was in it.
I don't think I have.
It's actually it's worth seeing. It's definitely a 90s period movie about like metalheads and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's a comedy. And I could totally see him being in that. But being that you don't know it, because you've never seen any movies that I bring up.
I've seen a lot of movies, just not the right ones, apparently.
Well, I don't know if they're the right ones. You've just seen the wrong ones.
I've seen a lot of movies, just not the movies that you've seen.
Well, you have a lot of movies to catch up on.
I have seen the 2 Dr. Quinn movies. I have seen the 3 Little House movies.
How about you shut up?
But in all seriousness, you got to see The Lost Boys at least, please. And he looks like he could be in The Lost Boys.
Wolf is in it.
Yeah, the original. This is Wolf years before this, which is even great. It's a Little Wolf.
Little Cody.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. Nanook.
Yeah.
He's kind of a big, has a big role in it. He really steals the scene. But yeah, they have their own entertainment, and they're just kind of trying their best to not cry over the fact that Preston is going to... I think there's always room, though, for kind of a lower-priced hotel, right?
Well, that's kind of the thing. I kind of brought up, why is Michaela so upset about Andrew in the clinic? Because, first of all, she could have had the job, but she turned it down.
Mm-hmm.
And also, totally different clientele. I think the same thing with the hotel. Clearly, the people going to the Chateau are not going to be the people who are going to the Gold Nugget. So I think that there is definitely room for both of them. I mean, I guess we sort of have in that one episode that guy that was going to stay at the Gold Nugget, but then Preston kind of swooped in and took him to the Chateau.
I mean, look at Vegas. You have the on the strip places and you have the off the strip places.
Yeah. Well, I think there's room for both of them. Yeah,
a lot of money to be made.
Yeah, and no one's getting all torn up about the boarding house.
Yeah, I mean, nobody's even...
the boarding house out of business.
Yeah, nobody even noticed it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we visit your favorite character, which I'm really surprised you love this character so much. We head over to Dorothy's.
Journalist, Miss Dorothy Jensen.
You're like, correct yourself.
I'm like that meme with the kid with the vein bursting out of his head.
She sure did.
Thanks, madam. And Lauren Bray, proprietor of the general store.
Always happy to meet a fellow entrepreneur.
Entrepreneur. What is that? Entrepreneur.
You look dirty.
He's got ink all over his hands. What's he doing?
How nice that you could spend the holiday with your son.
Oh, Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving happens every year.
Well, that's pretty much you with this episode, Mark. You're like, oh, Thanksgiving.
Hey, you know what? This is going right out to Beth Sullivan. I feel as though Thanksgiving is a complete afterthought when it comes to this script. Sorry. I said it. But I love it. I had a great time watching it. It doesn't feel like Thanksgiving. Maybe if they had a little bit of early snow on the ground.
They don't get snow hardly ever.
Well, it's not in the budget, we know.
They don't have a snow budget that Little House has.
No snow budget. No, but I do, and all joking aside, I do enjoy this episode. I just don't get the whole Thanksgiving vibe. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I think that's part of kind of the idea, though, because, Robert E. gets all, torn up because they're not having Thanksgiving at the cafe.
Yeah,
and
you know what?
That got me into that. And it's kind of a thing where it's, people's lives change. And we see that on, numerous levels. I mean, they're not doing the traditional thing at the cafe. Colleen, may or may not be home in time. So that would be different for that family. And then we have, Preston and his father and the whole chateau mm-hmm. thing, whatever. There's just people's lives are sort of changing and the holiday doesn't look how it used to look for these people.
That's right. It's correct. And now that you bring it up, when we first moved, for whatever reason, we got roped into going out to dinner on Thanksgiving, which is just the worst possible thing you can do to me in life. Because I enjoy Thanksgiving, I enjoy cooking it and being at home, and that's it. So we would go out to dinner 3 years in a row, and I was like, this is the worst thing. And I kind of felt Robert E., being like, this is not a tradition.
Yeah.
This is the worst.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, you don't have to wrap it up. I don't want your crappy food.
I want to make my own food at home.
I want it at home.
Hotel opening. That's a momentous occasion.
I want you there, too, on Thursday. That way you can interview my hotel's investors before the opening ceremony.
Oh, I couldn't possibly be there before four. I'm doing research for my book, and I've scheduled an interview on Thursday for most of the afternoon.
Oh, you'll have to reschedule.
Pardon?
My story is big news for this town. If you want to be taken seriously as a professional journalist...
I am a professional journalist.
Okay.
Sure.
And give my story the attention it deserves.
Your story will get the proper treatment, Preston, starting at four.
Yeah, so I mean, he's gets put in his place over and over again by people.
Yeah.
He then lets it be known that Dorothy owns 51% of the paper while he owns a measly 49%.
I think that they're like 2% difference is so overblown.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Like, I just cannot believe that it makes this big of a difference in their working relationship.
Well, if anything, it would be too hostile. Like, you wouldn't be able to get anything done.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So, you know what? While on the topic of Thanksgiving, what is something that you make on Thanksgiving? Like, what's a Kelly Milky speciality?
I don't really think I have, like, a speciality. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I forget where I got that from.
I don't think I really have, like, a specialty, but just sort of, like, the standard stuff, you know? So we have, like, the turkey, and we always have, like, mashed potatoes and gravy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a vegetable, you know, probably like, you know, just green beans or something like that.
You don't do a tadurken or something?
And like, you know, biscuits, rolls, whatever. Yeah. And then pies, usually get a couple of pies that we have for dessert. But usually
what kind of pies?
I get up like sort of, so I get up like early, start making like the turkey really early. And this would be one of the days where, like, you know, I probably am like cracking open a beer, having a glass of wine, like, yeah, at an earlier time.
You get the box
than
of
you
wine.
I normally think is acceptable, but I'm like, I got up at 6 to make a turkey. I can do what I want.
Yeah.
So definitely one of those kinds of deals. And then I always just think it's really fun just getting up early and just like cooking and like having a like drink early and like watching stuff on TV. We usually, kind of depending on, like, what Pete's work schedule is, we used to always do all of our Christmas decorating on, like, the Friday.
Oh, that's nice.
After Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But sometimes, depending on his schedule, like, we have done it as early as Thursday. We actually, even a couple years ago, we had visitors on Thanksgiving, so we actually did it, like, before they even got here.
Oh, that's nice, too.
So it was, like, already decorated on Thanksgiving. Yeah. But, you know, like, we do, like, stuff like that kind of in between, like, while we're waiting for food to cook and... like watch movies, and it's fun.
Now, although you know I'm Jewish, I'm also part Italian, and the part Italian that I am is very Italian. And they so I completely understand.
Dr. Mike.
So I fully understand what you're talking about. Like, pretty much as soon as you would go somewhere or somebody gets to your house, even if it's like 10 a.m., it's kind of like, you got any wine? And yeah, super sad, you gotta, you'll put out a little meat, cheeses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like the, I don't know, just people just bring, like, it's almost like Thanksgiving is the hall. Like, yeah, everybody brings wine, everybody, you know, there's always somebody who brings like two boxes of wine.
Yeah.
Which is very welcomed in my, in, you know, the Jacoma household.
Yeah.
Especially on Thanksgiving where, you know,
yeah,
practical fist fights.
The barrier. All right.
But I find that on Thanksgiving Day, I will make things I don't normally take the time to make, like stuffed mushrooms and things that I just normally wouldn't even eat. Like,
right,
trying to think, there are quite a few fried things because we don't really fry that much, but I'll, on that day I'll fry, whether it be, fried ravioli and stuff like that. And yeah, if you have like two fried raviolis, you pretty much just go to sleep. You feel horrible.
You're like, this is too much.
You feel like your face breaking out after having two of those. But I just enjoy the day. It's easy and it's simple.
Yeah.
And the day, for whatever reason, is never full of stress. and yeah. Unless I'm going out to dinner.
Yeah, we do usually something that's like sort of an informal tradition that we do is that we have like, you know, a bottle of, or two of wine that we've collected like somewhere at some winery. Mm-hmm. And because like we like drink wine, like, you know, pretty regularly.
Sure.
But it's like the wine that we buy like just for like kind of
it's house
normal.
Wine.
Yeah, it's like different than like if we like are traveling around, we like go to wineries and then we like spend a little bit more money, you know, on some wine and stuff.
Yeah, you might have a couple bottles like for if you get on the train and there's a bed on the train and
yeah,
you have the two chairs.
Exactly. So like those bottles we'll tend to save sure. for, you know, like a holiday. So mm-hmm. we'll have it like on Thanksgiving or Christmas. So then usually on the holiday we'll like open, like we have a couple of bottles like hanging out in the cabinet right now, like waiting for Thanksgiving or Christmas. And we usually like dig into those.
We have I've talked to Aeroff about that I made wine and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So down in my basement we have I don't know like 30 or 40 bottles of wine that I've made. So I have no idea what I'm going to do with it. Hoping it'll turn to a good vinegar one day. Because but we have one of these buffets.
Dave's like, I can help you out with those.
I'll help you. Yeah, I can help you move those. just dilute them down a bit. So when we first bought
never
this house,
wine.
You just add a little bit of that stuff. It'll sweeten it up. little this, little that. tell you, man, the Indians will buy anything. When we bought this house, we bought this like dining room furniture and stuff like that. So like buffet table. We didn't really think this through, but in the middle of the buffet table is a space for like 20 bottles of wine. Like it's a rack. And like, so we just, I went online and ordered one of those kind of like, you know, you get like 12 bottles of random wine. Because we drink wine, but it's, I don't know, you want to have this thing full at all times. And
right.
You want it to look nice. You don't want it to all be the same exact bottle, you know.
Right,
so
yeah.
we did that, and that wine is just sitting in there. It's just for looks. It's a show wine.
Yeah, like the display wine.
And it was like $35 for like maybe like 20 bottles of wine
yeah.
or something. It's just one of those kind of things I think people just do. Or maybe not. But yeah, if we ever need wine, we certainly have enough of it in the house. And I don't know if I told you this. I told you that I made beer, but I did find an extra bottle of the beer that I think you guys would like. I think I have two bottles of it. So
oh, really?
I'm going to illegally definitely send it to you in the very near future.
I mean, is it illegal or not? I'm like a
I
little unclear
so.
On that because there are like, I thought it was illegal to have stuff like delivered, like alcohol. But then we've visited like wineries and stuff and they can like ship to our state. Yeah. And we had like that craft beer subscription, like the monthly thing, and they like shipped it here. So I'm like, we're getting alcohol in the mail.
You know what? It's a beer. You know, I don't think
yeah.
that'll be a problem. I'm more concerned that it's going to explode on the way.
That's true.
No, so what you do, what I have to do is like wrap the cap.
So I'll get it and I'll be like, it's exploded. Where's the customer care number?
It's all sticky and stuff. And your dogs are licking it.
Actually, my cat, one of my cats like loves beer.
And those are started out as pumpkin beers, believe it or not.
I love pumpkin beers.
But they taste a lot more along the lines of Magic Hat number 9, which is an apricot.
Oh, right, which I am familiar with that beer, and I like that beer a lot.
But this, the beer that I will be sending you guys has, I actually bought pumpkins and cooked the pumpkin and steeped it and all that kind of stuff.
That's awesome.
A lot of fun work. I liked making beer. It's just, it's messy, but I'll make it again. Betsy wants me to make it again, so I'll make another L. The Dr. Quinn cast L.
The Dr. Quinn cast L. Maybe like a Patreon exclusive.
Dr. Mikhail.
Mikhail Quinn.
We have to think of it like the wolf blend.
Hank.
The popping Hank. I don't know. We'll think of something.
Rock gut.
Honestly, the wine that I made, we should just print up Hank labels.
Him like smoking a cigar or blowing like smoke rings or something.
It's like the wine doesn't even have to be good. Actually, the worse the wine, the better because it's rock gut. We'll call it
just
Hank's
call
rock,
it rock gut.
Gut.
Yeah, yeah, like the rock gut wine.
That's awesome. I'm doing
the
that.
Hank exclusive rock gut wine.
I think I'm just going to print a sticker tomorrow and make a prototype. all right, well, we'll be back to the show.
This is the wine episode, the wine and beer episode.
Hey, who knows what you're going to get when you dial into the Dr. Quinn network.
Well, plus it's like the holidays. We're talking about the holidays.
Yeah, I mean, I'm wondering, will people listen to this while they're cooking their turkey?
Yeah, well, I mean, I hope that anybody who is listening while they're maybe cooking or otherwise, we're around the holiday season. And if you're listening around this time, I hope you're having a good holiday.
Yeah.
And maybe we can help bring a little bit of joy and humor to it. Exactly.
So Lauren is mad that Dorothy is going out to the reservation. He's like, what is that all about? what else goes on?
You play that music. Yeah, it's hilarious.
You know what it is? It's a 20-second clip that I took. And the way it's set up, I can either pause it, and then it blinks the whole time, and it's annoying, or I can let it play to the end, and it stops blinking. Or I can just lower the volume again.
I just love it playing that. It's, like, amazing.
Michaela's... You point out that her dress you don't like too much. But it does look better when she's in the dark.
That's what Sully said.
That's what she said.
She sure did.
Yeah, so Sully's not being too helpful as usual. He's just kind of like, I'll eat this apple as you're cooking. He's not really doing too much.
Did you hear that big crunch on the apple?
Yeah, how can I not hear it? I was just like, what? Now, you took a screenshot. Is that some weird statue she has? So,
like, when you see him, like, when he's, like, eating the apple right behind him, there's, like, this weird...
Oh, yeah, it's in like, the other screenshot. I didn't notice.
Yeah, so it's, like, this weird, like, statue that is on the shelf behind him.
Looks like he's getting ready to sit on a toilet or something.
I don't know what it is, but it's, like, this weird-looking, I guess, statue like or Louis... doll or something.
Yeah, like, some type of English type of weird outfit with bell bottoms or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's a weird... It's weird.
It's like if King George III met Led Zeppelin or something. It's just this really bizarre thing.
Yeah, it's definitely Bizarro World. and that's another thing. We have to look in the background for Bizarro Brian.
Yeah, right.
Bizarro Brian with his cat.
Cat and bird.
And his turtle.
I almost forgot about that.
Anthony's a little bit like Bizarro Brian. No, I like Anthony. I think it's weird that people don't really talk about Anthony in the chat groups that we have.
He really is not a popular character.
And he swapped him out too, and people are like, really? Didn't even notice.
I mean, yeah.
All right, so Preston is talking to the Reverend, and I'll just get to that.
Preston? Well, looks like you need a cup of coffee.
I could use two, Reverend. I was up late planning my opening ceremony. I'd like to begin with the benediction. Would you do me the honor?
Ben a what?
Also, how weird that the Rev is sitting at a table with Hank and Jake.
It's just always bizarre.
Like, what happens at Grace's stays at Grace's.
What kind of scam we're going to get into today, boys?
Yeah. We'll have dreams. I know I do.
They're sitting there placing bets on, like, if Anthony's going to drop the plate or something.
Yeah.
Watch him.
Well, I'm not familiar with any specific hotel blessings, but I'm sure that the good book will offer something.
Now, this is what's funny, is you go to a rabbi, a rabbi has a blessing for everything.
Whether it be, really?
Yeah, whether you're baking bread or cutting the bread or if you're opening a hotel, I guarantee there's a prayer out there for you.
Nice.
There's no limit.
So you have like the Spring Chateau prayer already.
Yeah, it's like page 512. And it starts the same every time. Baruch, atah, Adonai. And it's a big prayer. And you put the mezuzah up and you go, l'chaim. Yeah. And you drink the wine. You go, mazel tov. Yeah.
Standard format.
Yeah.
I'm going to christen our place when it's done. Drink a bottle of champagne right on it. Your place, sir?
Yes, Father. Mr. Lawson and Mr. Slicker are building a modest little flop house behind the saloon.
It's a social club and deluxe resort.
And I'm Mayor Slicker, sir.
Mayor? Didn't you write that you were running for that office?
He did, and he lost. To me.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
It is. I didn't catch how funny that was. I mean, yeah. Basically he's rubbing in right in front of his father. Jeez. I would hate him, too. I mean, if you think about it, Preston has a lot of grudges to kind of fulfill. To kind of mess with. Yeah. Let's see. We see boring, as you point out, boring vest Andrew.
Yeah,
his whole outfit is boring.
At the beginning of the episode, had a stellar vest on, like award-winning vest. And then later on, he just gets these like really dull vests.
You know what? It says in the show notes, I was reading on IMDb, this is his exit interview suit.
His exit interview.
He has to meet with HR. And, you know,
yeah, yeah.
He doesn't want to be flashy.
Yeah.
I get it. But so we get to Anthony and it's, you know, the relationship between Grace and Anthony, I really dislike. I think she's really just not sweet enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, she doesn't seem too invested in this relationship.
But like it's really crazy though, because it hits her so hard.
Yes. Yeah, I don't get it. I mean, yeah, and her whole life kind of crumbles because of it.
Yeah.
You've been busy for days. Anthony. You gotta be extra patient with me this week. Preston is counting on me making Thanksgiving real special at the hotel, and it's important that I do a good job.
Like, do you want that Oculus Rift? Well, if you do,
it's important.
It's important would be a good clip.
What?
It's important. That would be important. A good clip. It's important.
She sure did.
Having Thanksgiving at the cafe is important to some folks, too. A tradition. Now, where they're supposed to eat if you're
close. That's really funny because you're all like, I do not want to go out to eat on Thanksgiving.
God.
And Robert's like, what do you mean they can't come here to eat?
I'm trying to remember the place that we would go to every year. It was like this Italian kind of weird place. And it's like, do you want turkey? And it's like, no, I'll have steak. I'll order anything to like ruin the entire meal for everybody. It's like, I'll be the only person to not order turkey. I'll make my own turkey, thanks. Ugh, I don't know. Who goes? I mean, no offense to people who go out to dinner. Who go out to dinner on Thanksgiving. It's not something I grew up doing. And it just doesn't.
Yeah, like it's not what your expectation of the holiday is.
Yeah. I hate it.
But they can eat at the hotel. Sad to hear most folks are going to be celebrating at home this year. Where are we celebrating?
We're not.
Exactly. We. Why don't you shut up, Anthony?
I'm going to be having a banquet right there in the hotel's fancy kitchen.
Kitchen? Like we were servants?
Robert A., you know how much money Preston is paying me. Servants? We will be making more in one day than we can be making here in three Thanksgivings.
Three Thanksgivings? How many turkeys is that, Ma?
Bizarre O'Brien.
Bizarre O'Brien. You turn around, he's just eating one of the raw potatoes.
Kitchen's fine.
Trying to feed it to his cat. Cat?
Yeah. Do you think that, I don't know, do you think that Robert E. is, like, too mad about
this?
Yeah. Or, I mean, because, like, I kind of think he is. Because really, like, the whole, like, thing at the cafe, I mean, that was really, let's be real, that was, like, a business thing, right? I mean, like, she was doing dinner at the cafe. I guess they never really went into the whole, like, monetary aspect of it.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, even when I went out to dinner, I wasn't, like, really sitting there miserable.
Yeah. Like, were people paying when they went to the cafe to eat Thanksgiving?
Yeah, they must, right?
I mean, like, they must have paid for it, but, like, we never really get that acknowledged in those episodes. But still, it's like she has this other business opportunity that's paying more money. And like she said, I mean, like a lot of people are going to be going there for Thanksgiving or being at home. I mean, I kind of think that like he's getting a little too upset about that. And he's upset about the eating in the kitchen aspect, which, I mean, like, I understand why he would be upset about that on some level, but also Grace, like, he's, like, being a little hard on Grace specifically about it. Because it's, like, that's not really, like, Grace's. It's not, like, within her control, and she really is thinking. See, like, I think that Grace is the kind of person that she, I mean, like, we've talked about this before, that she, like, knows how to get what she wants, and she knows how to, like, deal with people, and she can, like, manipulate situations to work out in her advantage.
Just in Campaign Palooza, we were seeing it happen where she's negotiating right on the fly. Like, she knows what she wants.
Yeah, like, she's quite savvy, and, like, she can make things happen. And I think that, to her, like, I mean, does she think that it's like, oh, this is great that we have to eat in the kitchen? Like, probably not. But I think that she also is able to, she's like, I have this end goal in mind. And, like, this that I'm doing will help get me to the end goal. I'm willing to, you know.
Yeah, what I'm really surprised with her is that she didn't hire somebody to keep the restaurant open while she was doing this.
That's true. And she does have those people. I mean, at least, like, one person, maybe even, like, two or, you know, more. I'm not really sure. There's the one person that we definitely see time and again that we recognize who works at the cafe. It is kind of surprising she wouldn't just be like, here's the food, serve it, you know.
I mean, where is Lauren going to eat? Or well, the only person that we really know that even has kind of a legitimate kitchen is Michaela. Right? I mean, in the whole show, I think it's the only person who has a kitchen.
That's what everybody's eating at Grace's all the time. Because where are they going to cook their food?
Yeah. So
I mean, like, because it's like Dorothy lives at the Telegraph office, well, which is now the paper office, but, you know, that thing, that place. And then, like, Jake lives at his barbershop. Lauren lives at his store. I mean, I'm sure they have, like, small cooking implements, but as far as being able to, like, really cook a meal.
It's also a poorly timed time to open a hotel on a holiday.
I thought that too. I was like, why are you like planning your big like grand opening for like Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
It's weird. It is very weird.
Yeah, it's one of those things that we just kind of don't. The picture you posted of Robert E., the one after the one I did, is so funny. He's like, so
he's like snarling, everybody do the Harriet.
The Harriet.
We got our future to worry about, not what we're going to be eating a plate of turkey.
And he's just like, you're ruining my life.
He's like, but I want to eat the turkey here and I want it now.
Right, and he throws the potatoes on the floor. And you see Bizarro Brian dive at the ground, grabbing it and eating it. Bizarro Brian.
Which, like, when she's, like, preparing for this, like, how many days ahead of Thanksgiving are we? Because she's really busy, like, making the food, but I would have to believe, I mean, so some of it you could, like, prepare ahead of time, but a lot of it just sort of has to be done, like, you know.
Well, what could you really prepare ahead of time back then?
Well, I mean, that's part of what I'm getting at, though. It's not like she can, like, refrigerate stuff. I mean,
I guess she can have an ice box.
The machine didn't take off.
Dang. We had so many high hopes for that.
Actually, like, Grace snagged that prototype because she's like, well, it did keep this block of ice cold, so I'm going to take this and I'm going to use it.
But they had ice boxes back then, didn't they? I'm sure they did.
Well, that was basically what that prototype was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Just...
Yeah, and then they're all like, this is an outrage.
I took an oath. This is unfair.
Matthew, right. Do something. Didn't you take an oath?
So Andrew's kind of going through some stuff at his new clinic. He's looking at this device as though he's never seen it before, and he's like, I don't know what this does. And I love how you you were pointing out that it looks kind of like a trophy. For the best vest.
It's his best trophy.
That's so funny. And then I was thinking about Vestapalooza. Because everybody has vests. Not as good as the suggestion.
Hank has good vests. Andrew has good vests. I think Preston has some good vests.
Brian has even pulled off a decent vest.
Yeah, he does get some vests when he's a little older. Yeah.
It's Vestufabulous. Vestubulous. All right. So, so Preston comes in. This is another example, like we were discussing. Preston is very decent to the people that work for him.
Yeah.
Oh. Well, I can see you're settling in. Well, I am still waiting on a few supplies, but I am ready to start work.
No, you're not. Not until you hang this.
You're fired!
I only did that so I can hire Michaela. He opens it up. It says Michaela's name, you know.
Yeah.
It says Wolf.
It's perfect. Thank you, Preston.
Well, welcome aboard, Andrew.
It would be great if the sign said something like, "Welcome to the Preston Lodge Clinic," and then little letters, his name.
It was like tiny Andrew letters.
And it's like just a slide-in type thing so that if he's fired, you could just replace
it. Like, put in a new one, yeah.
But no, it's a full-size Andrew Cook MD sign. I thought that was really nice.
Yeah, I thought it was a very nice gift.
Yeah, I want one with my own name. So we get the Dr. Mike in this particular scene, which is just always kind of fun to hear from.
He has like his real like sure did swagger going on.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
She sure did.
Dr. Mike.
Sure did.
She sure did.
Dr. Mike.
I'm going to Denver.
What?
I'm gonna escort a fugitive back to the jail there.
Fugitive?
He escaped 2 days ago. Charlie.
What? What'd you say?
Fugitive.
Fugitive.
Yeah, fugitive. Fugitive. Yeah, fugitive. Fugitive.
Then you have to like say stop.
Piper found him drunk and passed out in his barn.
Well, you can't go to Denver today. Tomorrow's Thanksgiving.
Dr. Mike, I'm sorry. I got no choice. He's got to stand trial on Friday.
Dr. Mike!
I'll catch the first train home in the morning, I promise.
All right, Dr.
And
Mike!
And I'll make sure that Colleen's on board with me.
Bye, Dr. Mike!
Hey, stop!
This is excellent. This is... Hey, Kelly!
I can't even, like, I'm getting the hiccups again. I can't
sure
function.
So, all right, we have our favorite telegraph operator. I think the goal is going to be for you to get hiccups.
He stole my Surrey!
He stole my Surrey!
And didn't steal anything. He works for me.
What are you talking about?
He took that Surrey legitimately on the bank's behalf.
What is...
Is that true, Dr. Mike?
It's mine!
That Surrey belongs to the bank, Horace. You're 6 weeks late on your loan payment.
They can't all kick in a quarter and make the payment.
Well, I thought that too. Like, the whole town seems so, like, outraged about it. I have to hiccup, sorry. The whole town is, like, so outraged, but it's like, well, none of you really seem to help.
It's
not saying that, like, they like, need to help Horace with it, because it's, like, his responsibility.
Yeah, but it's Thanksgiving.
But if you're going to be this outraged about it, I don't know.
And who repossesses something at the end of the month? You know, it's like, this is kind of towards the end of the month. And what do you think, Dr. Mike?
Dr. Mike!
That Surrey has been repossessed.
Repossessed? But I only got two more payments. I was short last month because I sent money to Myra for Samantha.
Two more payments, Mr. Lodge? Surely you can give Horace an extension.
No.
No. No.
I love the way he says no.
No.
No exceptions. No extensions.
Go ahead, then. Take it.
Do something, Dr. Mike. They're all like, ugh, this is going to really ruin Thanksgiving for everyone. You brought up the band Screamo, which I just thought was funny.
Well, okay, so when I said Screamo, like, that's a band? Yeah. It's like a genre.
I looked it up, and there is a band named Screamo where they go,
you said the band, and I'm like, band? What? I was talking about genre, and I was trying to find, like, the band called Screamo, and I couldn't find them.
No, there was a band named Screamo.
I was referring to the genre.
Well, I found the band. And it sounds like this. Literally. That's like their highest rated song. Even Hank looks a little bit like, oh, it's messed up. you took away Nodhead's...
Hanging out with a fellow long hair.
Yeah, well, you know what? They were kind of jamming earlier.
Yeah.
Well, wait. William Shockley plays guitar, right? I think he does. I don't know if he's any good.
I guess I don't know a lot about that.
Yeah, I think he does. Or at least he's taking pictures with the guitar. Which... It was like one of those things when I was younger. If you had long hair and you didn't play an instrument, you were just like automatically a poser.
Yeah.
I don't know why it is that to have long hair you have to play an instrument. It makes no sense now when I'm thinking about it. But when I was a youngster, that was pretty much the rule.
Does Sully play an instrument?
No.
He plays...
The mouth organ. The harp. What does he play? No, he doesn't play the flute. Does he do anything musical?
I don't think we've ever seen it.
Yeah, I think he is a Rush fan, right?
Well, I think maybe Cloud Dancing is.
Cloud Dancing is listening to John Trudell, which if you actually do take a second to listen to, is kind of really crazy music. It's like poetry music. It's like poetry slam. We should do a poetry slam, 90s style. All right, so here, Michaela's coming home. I'm just going to play this.
I'm sorry I'm late. Clinic became so busy at the end of the day. You and Brandy?
Mm-hmm.
And Katie?
She's fast asleep. You should really have
something.
Katie. Yeah, we ordered a pizza. We got Pizza Hut.
Oh, I don't have any time, Sully.
Subway delivers.
Giving's tomorrow. Need to prepare the stuffing. Onions.
Oh, so I wrote down my thing. Down where you are, is it dressing or stuffing?
Well, so it's kind of weird. I think that dressing is sort of known as being like a Southern thing, but I don't know that I actually have heard anyone call it that.
I
think if you just say stuffing, people know what you mean.
It's kind of like soda. Like, you know, people call it pop in different places. And it was something we were talking about where I was like, what are you talking about? And it, you know, it was... and when we were in Philadelphia, we tried to order like a meatball hero or something. And they brought a meatball gyro.
Oh, that said Euro?
Yeah, and I was like, what the hell's this thing? I don't want pita bread.
I like Euros.
Meatball? Makes no sense. With, like, tomato sauce and stuff. I was like, what is this? No, I like pita bread. I like gyros.
Yeah. And
it's just funny how... And I'm like, no, I meant on a hoagie bread.
Hoagie.
But I didn't actually say that.
Dr. Mike,
it's a gyro. Tzatziki. All right.
Walnuts.
She has like 8 pounds of walnuts.
it's crazy.
She has a basket of everything that you would need.
She has this huge basket of like all this stuff.
It's crazy.
Celery. I forgot to buy the celery.
Where would they roast a turkey, do you think? I mean, this is obviously a set. I don't want anybody going, it's a TV show. But in her kitchen.
Dr. Mike, it's on TV.
Dr. Mike, it's just a TV show. Dr. Mike. Do we have to clip Dr. Mike? I'm sorry.
I think that because they have like an oven, right? Like a closed off oven thing.
Yeah.
So I guess just in there, I would assume.
I just imagine it would take a really long time and get really warm and stuff.
I mean, I don't think that they're like deep frying it outside. Or
that'd be nice. I think I've said to you in the past, like that's something I've always wanted to try, but I kind of chicken out.
Yeah, it's really popular here. Like it's a very big thing to do the deep frying thing, but we have not yet done it. We haven't tried it yet.
Well, if you do, you know, you have to share it with us.
Yeah. Maybe do like a live recording.
Yeah, there you go.
While we're doing it.
Well, that was an idea that we had, is to kind of record or do something like a live stream on Thanksgiving as we were making our turkeys. That'd be kind of funny. I don't know.
Yeah, we're like making our turkeys and drinking our early wine.
My early wine.
The early
wine is 7 a.m. Regular wine drinking is anytime after 9:30.
Anytime after you've had a proper breakfast.
Yeah. Or with breakfast.
Or with breakfast.
All right, so essentially everything's going to be fine. Sully's like...
Doesn't matter.
But in the rest...
I love that. He's just so like whatever.
Whatever, man. You know what this holiday means, right? Stolen, you know, from the Indians.
Sweet. Nobody will notice. It'll be our little secret.
I don't even know why I'm fussing anymore.
Yeah, and then the next day at dinner, he's like, did you hear what Michaela did? She totally effed it up.
It was the worst. It's like, listen, we don't expect anything from you. You're pretty. You just...
Just sit there and be quiet.
And, all right. So this
scene. Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike, just sit there, okay? You gotta cook for us.
I'm going to Denver.
I just wanted to hear him talk again.
What?
I'm gonna escort a fugitive back to the jail there.
There.
All right. Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike. My Surrey. Sully's like, don't worry about it, because after we eat and the tryptophan kicks in, I'm going to give you some good loving.
And he's just like, I'm so high right now, I don't eat anything.
He's like, wait, what am I eating? Is this parsley? What am I smoking? I thought this was my weed. This is parsley. He's like, where's my vape? Sully, I said don't vape in the house near the baby. I'm not.
Yeah, like she comes home with her big basket. There's just like smoke like coming out the window. So she like approaches the house.
Doing it right in the window. He goes up. You see out the window. It's like just pillowing out. All right. So you mentioned Preston's wearing really cool pants. I'm going to play it because I don't know what these pants are all about.
They're stripey.
And this is also, you point out, how Andrew is following them like a robot.
Yeah, that's weird. Crazy.
Remember, Preston, you want your investors to feel powerful and important.
Father, I think seeing the hotel, the fruit of their investment, will make them feel important.
Andrew's like, I call shotgun on the way back.
And he has like this little bowler hat on.
He's like, what kind of mistake did I make? I've never been so bored.
All I do is walk around with you.
It's like, at least Colleen will be here today.
Who's Colleen?
I don't know.
Where's Wolf?
Well, Wolf is going and sniffing around the train
Wolf
tracks.
Was soft.
He's like really interested in the train tracks and the stairs in a kind of a weird way, right?
I want to brush Wolf.
I don't like brushing him. He growls at me. No, not Wolf. That's King. But yeah, so the train is delayed.
And Wolf is sniffing.
You know, and also Wolf looks kind of thirsty, actually. Tonga's kind of hanging out.
Yeah, you it's okay? Probably like warm or something while they're filming.
You okay, buddy?
He's like, I smelled something back here. I gotta go check it out.
Making me walk again.
I'm always walking.
I miss the days on the Lost Boys set.
Train was delayed. It stopped a few miles past Monument.
Stuck? What are you talking about?
I just got word. There was a terrible storm.
I just got word.
Yeah.
Beep, 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 beep. I've got the word.
The bird is the word.
You know, it's funny because this is where Horace shines, because it's like he's so important. He's the one who's relaying the information.
The word.
He lives for these moments.
You know that song by the Beatles, The Word?
Yeah, the word is bird.
Like the word. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, not the bird is the word. It was like, the word is love.
Just blow.
I do know it. I can't place the song, though.
Yeah, if you heard it, you'd be like, I know what you're talking about. Anyway.
Went all over, blocking the tracks.
That's the word that Horace got. Love. We had a telegram. It just says love.
Hey.
I know Lenny Kravitz's song called Love. I'm sure I know the Beatles. I mean, how many songs do the Beatles have with the word love in it? Too many.
Well, with the word love in it, like a lot.
Yeah.
It is.
Wire said it was raining and blowing so hard that homes and buildings getting torn up.
And the wind is still blowing because we see Sully's curls and, you know.
Yeah, so actually if you look at, like, flaps per minute of his hair, you can figure out how fast the wind is blowing.
So this morning at 7 a.m., was this your goal? Like, you, like, freeze-framed it? You were like, all right, I have to make my hair look like this.
It wasn't my goal. It was an accident. It was, like, a happy accident.
You're like, ooh, I feel like Sully today. I put on my fringe jacket.
Yeah, and it was, like, and it's kind of, like, unpredictable because, you know, it's, like, pretty, like, humid and hot and stuff where I live. So sometimes it's, like,
yeah. You,
like, can, like, spend all this time, like, styling your hair with the best intentions, and you step outside and you're like, what the hell happened, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm just like, man, I'm never going to put that much effort into it because it's probably going to be disastrous, but I'll just kind of, like, try to, you know, give it a little volume or something.
Yeah, once you...
And then I, like...
Once
then
I'm you pass work, Jersey, like, it gets kind of crazy in this country.
Yeah, and then it's like, I, like, get to work, and I'm like, dang, look at me.
Ooh.
It actually
and my lips are just so it. Naturally pouty.
Yeah.
You're like staring
but
at yourself.
You can't see it through. You can't see it though through my mask.
It's like, why is she staring at herself all day? All right, so here we go.
It'll take some time until we clear the tracks.
And this is weird. Is Horace is kind of turns away in a very slow way.
Although his vest is a nice looking vest.
It's all right.
He's
yeah.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
The ceremony. Should we postpone?
Well, if you listen closely, you can hear the band playing in the background.
We'll wait. I got a feeling we'll be waiting a long time. Let's go to Robert E's, borrow a couple more horses, and ride out and get Colin and Matthew.
Sure.
Can hear it all the way at the in the homestead.
Yeah.
Right. So, I wish we had a band. Yeah, you threw me off when you're like, "This would make for good campaign palooza music," and I forgot where we were. It's Thanksgiving
palooza. Campaign palooza is a lifestyle.
It's a lifetime ago. It's a lifestyle.
But it's a lifestyle.
Yeah. That's the theme for Campaign Palooza. I, you know what? I'll just kind of put it in there, you know, somewhere. But speaking of, yeah, I'm going to, since we already played the music, I don't think I have to play that scene. But we do get a little bit more of Jake and Hank's antics, which, I don't know, it's always fun to watch.
Come on, Jake. I'm kidding.
That's not me playing it in the background. That's the actual band.
Actually part of the program at this
yes,
point.
Yes, yes.
Folks that come out here.
Whoa.
Thanksgiving. And it looks like rain. Time for the publicity.
Hank's got this little mustache thing going on.
Yeah. And this is one of his, like, hair days where it's so weird. Like, his curls look sometimes they're either like really kind of tight and frizzier, or they're like looser and wavier. And he's having like a tight and frizzy day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what the hat's for. It's kind of like...
He has this like, it's like a total badass hat. Like he looks like he could like go rob a bank. I mean, yeah. Like throw on like an eye patch or something.
You know what's weird is I'm looking at Jake and he has a wedding ring on, but he's not married at this point.
Well, in real life.
In real life, he was married to...
He just didn't take it off for the show.
I guess so.
He's married to the gold nugget.
It's a gold ring made from the gold nugget.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's for the gold nugget.
That's my girl.
How you fellas doing?
Howdy.
They sure turned out nice, huh?
Sure did.
And pretty.
Sure did. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't. Wait.
Time for the publicity.
You gotta listen closely.
How you fellas doing?
Howdy.
They sure turned out nice, huh?
Sure did.
You sure did.
It's really funny.
Sure did.
Did you get rid of the hot springs?
You sure did.
What do you got? Fancy new building. Out in the middle of nowheres.
Yeah. How long can you expect a man to sit soaking and boiling water anyway?
Dr. Mike!
They dunked the mic!
For a little excitement, me and my partner here sticking up a more friendly establishment.
You sure did.
Right in the center of town.
So this is kind of funny. So yeah, you picked up the sure did.
Sure did.
I don't know if
hear it everywhere now.
Yeah, it's weird. Like you start kind of picking up on these things.
Sure did.
It's kind of like paying attention to Wolf, right? You said you didn't really pay much attention to him, but now
I seriously did it. Now I'm like watching him really closely, and
he's always been there.
Yeah, and it's just like he's doing all this stuff, and it's like really funny. Like he's just is like. There are so many weird little, like, nuances with the Wolf character.
Hey, Dr. Mike! Even that, like... Wolf. Oh, my God. There are so many, like, little things like that I think are so funny. let's see. I'm sorry. They're unloading Grace's wagon. They're a little bit late, and Grace is like, where were you?
Yeah, she's, like, really flipping out, and then, we should go to 2733 for Andrew's, like, there was a big storm.
Oh.
Because it's such a dumb thing for him to say.
It is. When he says that, it's like, what? It's another one of these, like, little things, it's
like... Where's all your high-class investors?
Their train was detained.
It was a big storm.
It was a big storm. And it's funny.
Dr. Mike, you know about the big storm?
I have to freeze. I have to take a screenshot of this. It's Preston looks like he's rolling his eyes at Andrew.
Big storm.
Where's all your high-class investors?
Their train was detained.
It was a big storm.
He says it so deadpan and like, like you're right, Andrew.
He's like in like the back of the carriage. Like he's like a total like from the back seat. Just like big storm.
It's like he's all mad because he called shotgun, but he didn't. You know, it didn't actually work. I'm putting.
And
in...
then so after we learn about the big storm, we have Brian and Sully riding out to try to find Matthew and Colleen.
Yeah.
Oh, that screenshot.
It looks like he's rolling his eyes.
And then Andrew's sitting back there like, big storm, you see my new hat?
So, let me ask, they decided to go ahead and try to find Colleen, right? To kind of...
Yeah.
Such a weird thing to do, I think.
I mean, I suppose because they know the train's not coming through, so I guess they're riding ahead to where the train would have stopped.
It's a nice gesture. It just seems far.
And then they would just bring them back on horseback or something. I don't know. But then the thing is, it's like, if it's too dangerous for the train to travel, like, is it really that safe for you to just be riding on horses?
Right. And why are you bringing Wolf?
Well,
they're following Wolf. They're following
him. Yeah. Wolf is the leader. He's like, I smell him over here. Dr. Mike.
Hey, Dr. Mike. So, So instead of taking an adult, he takes Brian with him. I guess that's fine. Maybe it's not that far. Maybe assume that it's not that far.
Well, I mean, so they'd be coming from Denver because that's like where Colleen goes to college, and that's also where Matthew was bringing that fugitive or whatever.
Back to Mike. Get the fugitive.
I don't know. How far is Denver from Colorado Springs? So I would suppose it'd be someplace, you know, in the middle.
As a New Yorker, I question if these places even really exist.
Dr. Mike. Okay, I'm going to Google.
Dr. Mike, we get a shot of her, and she's not even cooking, really, but she has all these biscuits already made. Like, who's making, what are you, making biscuits ahead? Like, you don't make biscuits ahead, you make fresh biscuits.
She's going to freeze them.
Freeze them in her freezer she doesn't have?
Yeah.
I have to take my word for it.
Even the baby looks bored.
Yeah. Shut up, Bob!
This is pretty visual. But we just kind of hear a storm coming. We go over, we see the chateau, the resort hotel. I didn't really read the whole grand opening spring chateau. That's nice. Nice sign. And it just starts down.
They're playing the same song like for a long time, by the way.
Yeah, right. Can you imagine having to play that over and over and over again?
Be a dream come true. And then like Denver to Colorado Springs, by the way, is 70 miles.
How many?
70.
So that's, I mean, it's a distance. I mean,
well, for that, and they're going like on horseback.
Yeah, that's like a 3-hour each way type of trip, probably. Our little theme song. But yeah, it starts downpouring. And it starts pouring. This guy puts his glass out to get rainwater in it? What's wrong with you?
I thought that was weird, too. I was like, what, you want to, like, water down your champagne?
Yeah, like, just drink your champagne and be happy you even have it.
Dr. Mike.
So, yeah, I mean, everything
people are
is,
like, what?
Everything is collapsing, yeah.
Your investors are not coming, Preston. You'd best move things along.
Yes, sir.
And Preston acts like he works for his father. I really hate that whole dynamic that the two have.
I know. So, like, their relationship is so, like, impersonal. And you can really tell that Preston just really wants to, like, impress his father. And, I mean, I'm sympathetic to Preston because I can kind of, like, understand how he feels this pressure, you know, like with his father visiting, and he is like wanting to impress his father. We know that like he's like kind of been raised in a way where he's like really competitive with his brothers, and that his father kind of like fostered that. And ever since his father's been there, it's been like all business. You know, like the relationship, it just basically seems to be based on like how are you succeeding or not succeeding right now.
Yeah, it's a lot to live up to.
Like, and like business kind of things. And like, if he grew up in a house that was like this, and obviously, like, if he's like thinking that, like, in his father's eyes, like, this is what his like self worth is based on, it's like, I mean, that's kind of a tough kind of dynamic to try to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I actually do think that Preston, coming from that kind of dynamic, is relatively well adjusted. Even though he has some moments where you can definitely kind of see, well, like the whole like dead or alive thing when he was like wanting to fight everybody, for example. Like he has these moments where he's kind of like almost cracking. But you can kind of understand like the root of like where that comes from. And I think that like he really is kind of trying to do like the best that he can. And then when his father's there, it's just like, I don't know, like, you know, like when, he's not normally, like, with his father anymore, right? Like, he moved far away. You almost even wonder if that was sort of, like, a reason that he wanted to move so far away.
That's interesting, like an escape.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, obviously, I mean, it was pretty normal, too, in this time to be like, you know, it's the land of opportunity, it's the West, and, you know, going to go out there and, you know, be successful, start this stuff, make money. That definitely is part of it. And he always is kind of painting that as kind of the reason why he's there. But you also have to kind of think, like, pretty convenient that you could get away from your father, too.
Yeah,
like, your father who treats you this way.
And it's definitely something that Michaela did with her mother and sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Another thing is, you know, people we mentioned seem to come down on Preston pretty hard. But if you were to put on paper all of the things that all of the people on the show have done, whether it be Sully being arrested in Washington and breaking out of prison and all of the weird stuff, the KKK stuff. And
yeah, I mean, Preston really does nothing that is bad. Like, he doesn't really...
Like, he's a little jerky, but I mean, I don't think he deserves to be called a snake.
Yeah, I mean, like, he doesn't do anything that's, like, crazy illegal and bad. I mean, because really, like, I mean, like, you have, like, the townsfolk that they do, we see them do a lot of, like, racist things. We see them, like, really turn on each other, like, at the drop of a hat. I mean, to Preston's credit, I mean, like, he doesn't really ever, like, severely turn on somebody.
And he's...
Nor does he ever really get that close to people, which I think is fine. I mean, like, he is just sort of, like, being businesslike about things, and that's just sort of how he runs his life.
He also won. I mean, he also lost the election, and he was fine with it. He moved on. You know, it's not like he moved away or something.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that he actually is a pretty well-adjusted person.
Yeah, me too. I don't think he deserves all of the attacks.
No, I don't either. I don't either. And I mean, like, so like maybe you think that he's not the greatest guy around. But, like, everybody in this town has done really bad stuff.
Yeah, totally.
Everybody has. And he hasn't done anything that bad.
Yeah, even Brian.
Blind machine.
It was so terrible, it hurt my feelings.
Yeah. The helmet, it was awful.
It was terrible.
One for your patience. And welcome to the grand opening of the Spring Chateau and Health Resort. Reverend!
So it's just, it's a terrible thing. It's the most rain I've ever seen in my life. It's raining men, but it's just terrible. And he looks like he's going to break down and cry. You do feel kind of for his character.
Yeah. And I mean, the thing is where it's like, you could just move it inside, but then it's like his father. I mean, I think honestly, Preston, if it were just Preston there without his father, maybe would have thought about, like, postponing it or, like, rescheduling it.
Now, what was going on in Grace's area? Where was it just the food was getting wet? Because why didn't they bring everything in?
I suppose, well, because remember when they showed up and she was kind of like, oh, where have you been? And then, you know, Robert E. said that Anthony was, like, covering up the pies and want them to get ruined.
But that was daytime. This is night.
No, right. But they brought it in and stuff, and it was, like, daytime. And I think this still kind of is daytime, but, like, it's so stormy that it's dark. Because, remember, Robert E. was like, oh, we need to hurry up and get that other load before the storm starts.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's just
so weird. I think that this other load, this is the second load that they're bringing. But, and they didn't quite make it before the storm started.
Well, why does she even care in a way? I mean, it's not like, I mean, it's ruined. You know, I mean, the party is ruined. People aren't.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess maybe it's going to go on or something. I'm not really sure.
Well, and maybe she just is trying to be like, this is the one thing I can try to control.
But she was freaking out. I was like, what? Just too much. All the pie's going to get wet. I don't want that pie. We get a lean-to. We get like kind of a tree falls, and Sully's like, look, a lean-to. Let's stop.
And then Wolf is like, all right.
He's like, I love lean-to.
Just like my own life in the woods.
The bride's like, I don't like this too much. I'm scared, Shelly.
Yeah, because, like, yeah, they get stopped, and they're like, we're going to have to stop and wait. So they, like, are getting off their horses, and before they can even get to the tree, Wolf, like, it's actually kind of cute. He just, like, trots up to the tree, and he's like, all right.
Yeah, he, like, lets them pass, and he's like, I'll get in there. I'll kind of, you know, cuddle in there.
We'll just... And then they, like, go in there, and they, like, cuddle up with Wolf, and have a good time.
And Sully looks like he's having the best time of his life. He's like, isn't this great, Brian? He's like, not so much.
Yeah, he's like, this is how I used to live.
I like roofs. The storm is coming. It's very visual, and she has to go. Mikayla has to go out and untie the horse and put it in the barn.
It was like the horses were outside, and she goes to try to like get the horse inside the barn.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see this scene, I'm like, why are you doing that? Because
maybe it'll get struck by lightning.
Well, no, but the thing is, but like, if there's like, because there's a tornado coming, obviously. And if there's, like, this really bad storm...
But is it obvious? Did we know that there was a tornado coming? How often are there tornadoes in Colorado?
I don't know.
If ever.
But as it ends up, though, I mean, like, if you have the animal in the barn and there's a tornado...
No.
Or a hurricane, as we know, doesn't happen in Colorado, right, Mark? something like that, where like, you know, buildings could be like destroyed. It's actually better for the animals to be outside because, you know, they can kind of take care of themselves better than if they were inside a building and like a tree falls on it or, you know, whatever, the building like, you know, collapses and then the animal would die. We actually saw that in that Little House episode, Going Home, season two, when he wanted to go back because like the tornado hit the house and stuff. And he was trying to get, like, the cow to come out, and the cow didn't want to come out because of, like, the calf. She wanted to protect the calf. And the next day, it was, the calf is dead, you know, because it was in the barn in the tornado.
I don't know what the normal thing would be because you feel like you don't want him to be out in the rain.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I kind of get that if you're, like, I want to put the animal inside so they're not in the storm. But then it's also, like, if the storm really is that bad, I don't know.
Maybe Mikayla should have done this an hour ago.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, maybe, I mean, I don't really...
I mean, they knew a storm was coming.
Could the horse... I mean, yeah, like, everyone seemed to... Yeah, right, because the train and everything, they were blocked. Like, they knew that there was a storm that blocked the train, so they should have known the storm was coming.
Duh.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike. Put the horses away. So we get this, like, really loud and stormy thing. Windows are breaking. I'm like, oh, my God, please don't let it be the Ron delay. It's $25. And we get Sully and Brian pull up in front of the house. There seems to be, if you look at the house, it seems to be, like, parsley or something all around the house. Like, it's just weird. Like, they just put, like, shrubbery around to make it look like there's a storm. And they find, like, her sweater or camisole. I don't know what you would call that, her wrap.
It's a shawl.
Yes. And Wolf is kind of like...
He's, like, wandering around.
He's like, I'm looking for my ball. Pop, are you there, Pop? And the house is just, like, chaotic. And this is what I think is kind of weird. So, Mikayla's upstairs, and it looks like she's just getting up? Like, I don't know.
Yeah, so, like, I've thought that before, because the scene right before this that ended, that we kind of skipped over because it was all visual, we see her sitting underneath the stairs, like, with the baby while the tornado is out there. So she's, like, you know, seeking shelter in the staircase. But now we have her, like, upstairs. So I'm like, well, so she, I guess maybe when the storm was over, went upstairs, and then...
She cracked open a box of wine.
Yeah.
I was like, I really need this right now.
Ate her chutney.
Yeah, she had some of her chutney. Yeah. And if you look closely, Sully's eating an apple. No, I'm kidding.
Kayla.
Ma.
You and Katie all right?
Yeah, ma'am.
Dr. Mike.
Storm damage blocked the train.
To get him,
although
we had to stop and take cover.
Dr. Mike!
That's not... You know, the best thing, you only notice this with headphones, and people who are listening to a podcast will get the same effect, but that was just in the right speaker. It's just out of nowhere. You get, I just have to hear it one more time.
You and Colleen?
Storm damage blocked the train.
We rode out to get him, but we had to stop and take cover.
Dr. Mike! You folks all right?
We're fine, Reverend. What happened?
Well, the town came through fine, and the clinic, but it's the hotel.
You know, it's weird. The Reverend actually brought the band with him.
Tornado touched down nearby, and folks are hurt.
Whoops. So yeah, everything's demolished. You have you're at the hotel and it's just
like, yeah, they arrive there and there are people just kind of scattered around. But have to like assess their injuries.
Did it just happen 30 minutes ago or something? Because everybody's just kind of reacting to it as though it just happened.
Like, when we see them come back, that's what's so weird, because it seems, and it's all so dry. Like she was like in the like staircase and she went upstairs. They make it back. It seems almost like it's the next morning, but like, then, like, why would this still be? I don't know.
And why
the timeline is weird, because I'm like, is this the next day or the same day?
And the ground is bone dry.
I can't.
Is this a week later? I don't know. It's very strange.
I'm going to make sure no one's still trapped inside.
You'll be the only person to do it. There are like 80 people. 80 people that use the bathroom.
Still got bingo on Thursdays here.
You got any of those little shampoos?
You're welcome, sad guy.
Silly comes out holding like three robes. The big S on the back for shit tone.
Thank you, child.
So it's just kind of like a battle scene.
It's a lot like at the beginning of this season, just a few episodes ago, there was like that train wreck thing.
Yeah,
that,
exactly.
Sully and Cloud dancing around, and it's like, this is a lot like that.
And we even kind of, when you see Andrew, it's a real big reminder of that, and see how far he's come with that, because remember, he was kind of like, how can we treat people under these conditions? It's like, you have to.
You big
idiot. Darthy goes back, and you went, woo, thank goodness her place is still there.
Yeah, just her sign fell down, but it's
still there.
Standing otherwise.
It's storm insurance. So there's a couple branches inside and waiting for Lauren.
Dorothy!
Oh. Dorothy!
Lauren! Oh, you all right? And your store?
Oh, the whole town got lucky.
Oh, thank God.
Where are you?
The whole town got lucky? Were they at the saloon?
Yeah. Yeah, it was like a 2-for-1 last night. It was a wonderful time. Boy, you should have been there. Where were you?
With a storm, Lauren. It kept me at the reservation.
In the teepee?
I told you my interview with Cloud Danson.
Did he show you his pee-pee in the teepee? as we bring the entire thing. Oh, wow. If you look close, you see the band in the background. They're just kind of walking through the neighborhood.
Right out there.
I have work to do.
So, yeah, her and Cloud dancing, I mean.
I think it actually would be amazing if. These scenes where they're like assessing the injuries, all these people are just like spread out in this field, and the band's just walking around like playing.
Like on Titanic.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, we're like creating fan fiction right here live. And this is the kind of stuff you can expect more of. From Dr. Quincast. Anthony's eating a dirty old rain-on pie in this next scene. I guess I would eat it too, probably. Because yeah, Grace's food is epic.
Just like, you know, like when you're like, all day, you're like, I'm gonna eat right today. I'm not gonna snack. I'm just gonna have dinner. And then you get home and you have blueberries all over your face.
That's Anthony. And you mentioned Grace's hair is down. We don't normally see her with her hair uncovered. I mean, it's
probably just like kind of fall loose because of the storm and stuff, but we don't really see it down very often.
Yeah. So it's pretty, you know, they're kind of all, everybody's kind of thankful that everything kind of, nobody got hurt really.
Yeah. Although, well, I mean, yeah. People did get hurt, but none of the main cast.
Nobody important got hurt.
Yeah. I mean, like we saw the one dude get like carried out. He was dead. I mean, guests at the hotel died.
Now, when you pointed out that Sully is just playing with the wheel.
Yeah. Well, the Reverend is like helping him like put this wheel on the wagon, I guess.
Yeah. Like why? Like what?
I mean, so my question is, like, is that really the most useful thing he could be doing at that moment?
Yeah, it's like, is it laying on somebody? Like, I mean, maybe just, I don't know, it just doesn't seem so important. But Michaela is deciding that this would be a great time to make it about her.
There. Well, your leg should heal nicely, but you did hit your head, so you'll need to stay here with Dr. Cook so that he can monitor you for a possible concussion.
No, you should go back with Dr. Quinn. I heard Dr. your clinic Mike. Wasn't
Dr. Mike
damaged at all, and I'm still waiting on the rest of my supplies.
Meanwhile, in the background,
absolutely best if you came with me. Then we'll find a wagon to take you back into town. In the meantime, you give me a list of whatever you need. I'd be happy to share it.
Thank you, Michaela.
Sully's just like, whee! I'm spinning the wheel.
I know.
Like, this is fun. You know, it's like he's spinning it really fast and like talking into it.
He's like on the Price is Right.
He has this stupid look on his face, like, wee. Yeah, I am so baked right now, so I'm having fun.
Where's Wolf?
Like, we found these crazy mushrooms.
Like, anyone ever seen Wolf?
All of a sudden, there's two wolves. And where is Wolf in this?
He's walking around. I don't remember seeing him in the scene at the hotel. Did he stay home? Wait a second. Okay, so, like, right. So, they brought him home with them.
Mm-hmm.
When they found her. And he was, like, wandering around the yard. And that was the last time we saw him. I guess they left him at home.
He's like, I'm going to go take a dump.
Been holding it for a while.
He can only poop when he's at home. So we get the Lodge family slogan, but you know what? I don't know. Sometimes I hear other things, so I have to listen very closely this time.
What's an action, President? Rebuild.
Yes, sir.
You've had a setback, son. Part of business. You know how much adversity I've had in my career. Misfortune only made me stronger.
Oh my gosh, you
learned
from
it, then moved on. Ever forward.
Oh,
that's the Lodge way.
Yeah, it sounds like he says never fold.
I thought he said ever forward.
I'm going to take this picture of Preston. He looks like sickened. He's like, what are you saying, old man? All right, so let me just...
Yes, sir.
And only made me stronger. I learned from it, then moved on. Ever forward.
Ever forward.
I always thought he was saying ever forward. It's the Lodge way.
Or never fold or never fall. We have to look at the subtitles. You're probably right.
I thought it was ever forward.
But ever if you forward. Listen to it, it really just doesn't sound right.
Adversity I've had in my career. Misfortune only made me stronger. I learned from it, then moved on. Ever forward.
Ever full?
Maybe. I think it's... I don't know. I'll have to turn on the captions and watch it, but I thought it was ever forward.
Mr. Lodge needs to learn to enunciate.
It's the Lodge way.
It's the Lodge way to just kind of, you know, mumble your way through life.
Well, he has a head injury.
You took the screenshot of what I took a screenshot of. I didn't even notice that. He looks so disgusted. He's like, what are you talking about?
Do you like that I zoomed in really close?
Oh my god, it's like dun dun.
I could zoom in even closer.
Yeah. All right, so things are going to start clearing up for everybody. Preston kind of goes back, and he sees that the town's kind of come together, and the band was ready to leave, but the town chipped in. They weren't not going to chip in for Horace's Surrey, but they're going to pay the band and everything.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, I mean, it takes a tragedy for them to, like, sort of be nice to Preston.
Yeah, and it's a shame, actually, but...
Got plenty more.
There's, like, a whole buffet spread out. It's just, it's the town way.
One thing that we missed, though, sorry, uh-oh, just, like, backtrack slightly, is that you're probably distracted by all my screenshots of his face.
Yeah.
But when he says goodbye to his father at the train station... He almost, like, speaks up to him, but then he backs down.
Well, you know what? I want to go back to that, because you're right. I thought he was going to say, I love you, or something.
I thought he was going to be like, back off, bitch. But, like, he almost...
I'm going to play.
...says something.
Father. Father, I...
Speak up, son.
I hope you have a safe journey home.
Jeez. You're right. He was going to give a piece of his mind.
So, like, I always had the feeling that, like, he wanted to kind of give him a piece of his mind. And then, his father... It's like his father, I think, thinks that he's being, like, encouraging and, like, really helpful. And then it's like they just went through this tragedy, and he's like, oh, ever forward is a large way.
Yeah.
It's like, I know you think that you're being really helpful, but also, like, you're kind of acting like this is his fault or he has control over it somehow. Which, I mean, he didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, he can, like, kind of control what he does now, like, in reaction to it, but the whole event itself, and it's kind of like, there still is, like, all this, I mean, there were, like, dead people around, and there's, like, all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
It's, like, kind of crazy that you're, like, still being so, like, harsh about it, and I kind of always thought that, like, your Preston was going to kind of speak up a little bit, but then he kind of, like, backs down, and then he doesn't, and there was a post recently in one of the fan groups on Facebook where someone was talking about how there were a lot of themes that were, like, overlapping or explored in, like, Little House and in Dr. Quinn.
Which, yeah, I saw that.
Our specialty. Those are, like, our two specialty
speciality
shows, right? Yeah. So I was actually thinking, because recently on TV, Sins of the Fathers in Little House aired. And we have a kind of similar father figure in that show.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah Carter's father, who's like the guy from The Big City.
He could be the same character, like, actually.
Yeah, like this big newspaper guy, very kind of like controlling over like how he thinks that she should be living her life and how she should be raising her family and where she should be living, how she should be living. Very like looks down, you know, a lot on Walnut Grove and on their little shack. I love when John Carter's like, it may be a shack, but it's our shack.
Yeah, and they threw him out. Yeah.
Like, it's, like, awesome, you know?
Yeah.
But it's kind of, like, a similar dynamic that we have here with, like, Preston and his father. But the difference, I think, is that we get, even though they seem kind of reconciled at the end, like, Sarah and then John also, like, really speak their mind against him and kind of, like, let him have it. And then at the end, they kind of end up, sort of like, you know, forgiving him. And,
you know, it's funny you bring up that episode. I think that a lot of people who are Little House fans, they really dislike what the show became, like when the Carters moved into the Little House. I think if you watch that episode, you fall in love with the Carters. They're awesome.
Yeah.
And Sarah Carter, I would have loved to see what they would have developed with this character and where it would have gone.
I know, I'm kind of sad that we only get them for the one season.
Yeah, but it's a very memorable period of time. They definitely made their mark, and having Jason and all these
But so we have like kind of a similar type thing going on here with Preston and his father. But like Preston just never really states his opinions or lets his father have it, which I think he really should. Like, I would have loved to have seen Preston really kind of just like stick up for himself. So like, this is like a time where we could have had like some real growth and development in the Preston character, and we don't get it.
Yeah.
Because he just kind of is like, and maybe he just, I don't know, you know, like family dynamics are weird and everything, and he's probably like, whatever, he's leaving, like I'm probably not going to see him again for a really long time, and you know, going to go on living my life without him here. But it's like, it kind of would have been nice if he just sort of spoke up a little bit.
So weak.
Yeah.
So weak.
Dr. Mike.
Dr. Mike.
So like, it would have been, people are like, what is wrong with you? This podcast sucks.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It just would have been really nice to see him really just kind of, you know.
Yeah. You know,
for himself a little bit.
People who might have an opinion that our podcast isn't like, you know, isn't like another one, or why can't you guys just be like whatever, should just kind of ask this question to yourself.
What's it like to walk on water, Mikhail?
And, you know. But.
I mean.
Anyway, so here we are cleaning up.
We're having a casual conversation.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, Preston's dad.
Sorry, Preston. But, you know, so even Horace is there helping out, and you would think that something would be said to Horace, like, hey, I'm sorry about what happened. We'll work it out. But no, that doesn't happen.
I mean, do you think he really has to apologize
no.
for it, though? That'd be another question.
No, but I also don't think he would have repossessed the Surrey if his father wasn't there.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that, like, he probably would have been a little more lenient if his father weren't there.
But, you know, he was trying to make it a spectacle.
I mean, I can almost see, like, this scene. It's probably, like, a deleted scene where his father's like, you need to repossess this, sorry. Six weeks later, loan payment.
Totally. It would be like, it's an insult to you and your business and that type of thing. You have to make this man an example.
Yeah.
But he took an oath, you know.
Mikhaila?
Someone in our town needs help. I'd like to think you'd do the same for any of us.
Be careful with that, Lauren. It's important.
Lauren's just like swinging the little table around.
I know, and he's just like sitting there like, what?
What is this?
He comes
up
to help him, he's like, what?
Oh, you're going to take, I'm going to take this home. You know, people are looting.
Yeah.
And it's cute.
And then Michaela's just kind of standing there like smiling for like a minute.
And then Colleen shows up out of nowhere.
Dr. Mike.
I got two more helpers.
Told you I'd get her home, Ma.
You sure did.
A little late is all.
He called her Ma. That's like rare.
Yeah.
He doesn't call her Ma that often.
No, he calls her Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike.
Oh. I'm sorry I missed Thanksgiving. You didn't miss it, Colleen. You're just in time.
Aw.
Another thing that makes me feel like it's the next day, though, because when she's like, sorry, I missed Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you didn't miss it, you're just in time. That makes it seem like it's the next day.
That's the impression I got. I thought that the way I looked at this was when they were all going through the storm, that was the evening of Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh. Right, so how long were all these injured people just like laying around?
Right, and I mean
before they got there the next day.
And how hot is it that all the moisture evaporated?
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really, it doesn't make too much sense. And I guess Sully's horse is fine because there he is.
Yeah, all their horses. And
Flash,
the horse is fine.
Is it Flash or is it?
No, Flash is Dr. Mike's horse.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not sure what Sully's horse is named. I know that, well, Brian has Taffy.
It was probably a horse.
Matthew has Scout. he mentions. Oh, and I actually think I heard earlier when I was clipping this episode that I think I hear Brian call one of the horses cowboy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I thought I heard him say, like, come on, cowboy, as he's, like, you know, kind of kicking the horse to make it go.
Do you know where?
I think it was before the storm started.
Like, when they're...
When the wind was picking up, they were, like, going after Colleen and Matthew, and then the wind was picking up. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, oh, we need to, like, go take shelter. And they're kind of like, come on. And I thought I heard him say, come on. He said, like, come on, and then a name. And I thought it was maybe Cowboy.
I mean, maybe he was calling Sully Cowboy.
Nobody calls Sully Cowboy.
All right, I'm just going to go there. We'll give it a quick shot to see if I can find this. I'm just looking. Is it in the storm or right before the storm?
Like, right before the storm.
All right.
When they're kind of like,
we better turn back. Looks like the storm's heading our way.
What about Matthew and Colleen?
They'll be safe. Looks like it's already past them, but Ma's home alone with Katie, and it's going to be dark soon. Let's go.
Cool.
He went. He just blew a kiss at the horse, it sounded like. Maybe it was another...
Like, earlier when I was listening, I thought he said, like, come on, and then, like, a name. Whatever.
Yeah, I believe you. I believe
it's hitting different now, but earlier I thought he said, like, come on, and then a name.
Yeah, it's like the fart I found in the last episode. It wasn't there. It was a tuba. So, well, Kelly, we're at the end of the episode. People are like, thank God. They're going back. Like, it's like you get to the end of the episode and we go 20 minutes back.
I know. So it's like, they're like, they're getting worse and worse each episode.
We're going to start at the end next time.
Oh, do like a reverse format.
Yeah, that'd be fun. It could be.
This is like some avant-garde podcast.
Yeah, it's what were we calling Brian before? When's Wacko Brian?
Bizarro Brian?
Yeah, Bizarro. I forgot the Bizarro. It's like Bizarro cast. You know, it's like we're just doing it in reverse. Well, we'll find an episode to do it with. But, Kelly, as always, thank you for all the work that you put into these episodes. Much appreciated.
Thank you for, I mean, all the work that you do and your clipping and your band playing.
You sure did.
If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe to Dr. Quincast in iTunes.
Sure did.